Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and today we are doing the 2020 season preview for the Bulldogs. Now, before we get into our predictions for the coming year, we'll do a quick review of what happened in 2019 for the Bulldogs. So they had 12 wins and finished seventh. You say that's a good pass mark for them, really, isn't it?
Oh, it was great, because it wasn't looking good for the first half of the season, yeah, if I remember off the top of my head.
I think they should have done better, to be honest.
They certainly came home with a wet sail. Yeah. And I was a little bit disappointed when they showed up in the finals against GWS, because I thought, finishing seventh, that's where they won the flag from in 2016. I didn't think they'd win the flag, but I thought, geez, they could shake things.
Yeah, I thought they'd make it interesting for GWS. Didn't happen, but, you know, I feel like this could be their year.
I think it was a building year for them, wasn't it?
I think had they made it the grand final, there'd be a lot of fucking nervous people.
Oh, fucking oath.
Yeah.
Because there's not many harder teams.
Like Yogi Berra said, it was deja vu all over again.
Hmm.
So this is very interesting, because we've just done the Essendon podcast and really enjoyed that. What are the highs for the Bulldogs for 2019?
Did they beat Essendon?
Beat Essendon with 21 goals in a row.
Nice. I heard about this game. Was it how many in a row?
21.
Nah. 21 goals. That's a lot of goals.
It's 21.
I'm totally happy to go through it again.
I'm happy to go through it again as well.
So they got 15 goals in a row, and then another six.
And then another six.
Yeah.
So 15.
But there was 10 goals before that, and another 11.
Yeah.
And then there was 9 goals and another 12.
It's great. And this is one of those ones. I can't remember. The game on at the same time in the other channel was competitive, getting close. Yeah. And it could have even been a Richmond game. I had Brenton texting me, are you watching this?
Yeah.
Talking about it. And I switched over and I enjoyed every single goal.
So they got 14 goals and another 7. I know I'm rubbing this joke in, but the Bulldogs fucking fans won't worry.
Oh, yeah, because they're loving it. This one's going to be listened to a couple of times through.
I enjoyed that flogging almost as much as the grand final. It's
almost
great.
Yeah, it's a close second. It was my favourite game.
I cheered just about as hard.
My favourite game of the year.
It's 20 goals and then another 1.
And we did cover this off again as well in the previous Essendon preview, but I do like the fact that it was 21 goals and then Essendon got one.
Yeah, you want to just make them, I don't know, it's almost more demoralising when they score.
It is. You're like, all right, and it gives the Bulldogs faithful a chance to stand up and give a standing ovation.
Yeah, yeah.
So they got 18 goals and another 3.
I like how your maths is running out very shortly.
All right. 21 goals, you say?
Yeah, they got zero before that.
And then 21. I think, actually, just check it. Essendon might have kicked the first couple.
Yeah, they did. They got the first one.
First three?
No.
They
led.
They kicked one goal,
three of the first four goals.
For about a bit of the first
four. No, they've kicked one goal up until the fourth quarter.
There you go. So they got a couple of late ones.
Yeah, plenty of points. Could be some rush behinds there.
All right. There are the highs for the year. I thought Bontempelli had a good year. Still not quite that level of Fife and
not
Martin.
Yet.
But still, I tell you what, he's showing
he's
it.
He's getting there. Yeah. Just talking about the golf course the other day, playing in the rain. So he's taking his... Look, don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but he was golfing the house down.
Having said that, I mean, that's what you expect from Bont, that kind of season. And when they needed goals kicked, he was the one that had the steady nerves and was able to do it.
Yeah.
But I was more impressed by Dunkley.
Actually, he really stood up, didn't he?
I mean,
it's his fourth season. He had 15 Brownlow votes.
Yeah, he really deserved them.
Absolutely, he did. He could have got more.
Yep.
I mean, I know Collingwood have got guys like Treloar and Pendlebury and that coming through the middle. And you've got other teams with star midfields. But Dunkley, Bontempelli, McRae...
Yeah.
And Wallace coming in there as well. It's better.
Well, they were originally trying Dunkley as a forward line player, weren't they?
Well, I reckon before this year, they didn't really know where he played.
Yeah.
You know, he was back, he was forward. He was, you know, the 23rd best player.
For 2020, that's the best midfield in the comp.
Oh, that's a big call.
I mean, there's bigger stars,
yeah.
But though their best games
there's bigger stars,
them.
Better players, people get more votes and more possession. But he's
there's people who've had better careers,
yeah.
But I don't think they'll have those careers in 2020. I think this is going to be the win. The Bulldogs. Is there a player with a brighter future than Bontempelli? It's a fucking short list.
The best midfielder in the competition. I'm just fast forwarding. Josh, where you got him finishing?
Never mind that.
But this is Dunkley's fourth season. Like I said, I thought he was a bit of a middle of the road player before this year.
Yeah.
Until he stamped himself, and now he is an A grade midfielder without a doubt. Aaron Norton, as well. Now, was it? I'm trying to remember the game. I think it was against Richmond, where he was at one stage looking at Wayne Carey's record for contested marks. When the Bulldogs won that game against Richmond handily. Yep. At Marvel Stadium, it looked Carey-esque. Everything that went up in the air was in his range, and I think he fell one or two marks, contested marks, short of the record.
He's not a big lad, though, is he?
And I think that's probably
he's not small, but he's not a giant. No,
the Tigers players just stopped going up and contesting them. Like, fuck it, just give it to him. We'll just keep running.
Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was the Richmond game. I've just gone blank right now. Another high I had for them was putting on 9 goals in the last quarter against Hawthorn. We covered this in the Hawthorn preview as well. Might have got one or two decisions that were rubber the green, but all the momentum was behind them. And if they didn't get those decisions go their way, I reckon they would have won by 2 goals instead of 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah. Getting there, yeah.
Exactly. But do you had to run out that that game early on in the season? That's a pretty good sign.
Hmm.
Their lows, though. What were the lows for the Bulldogs in 2019?
Well, the first half of the season, really.
I mean,
like they've ended the season, like not talking about finals, but as a house on fire, yeah. But you need some consistency over the whole season. And it seemed like sometimes they just went missing on the field. They didn't have that consistency.
They had a couple of good wins early with against Saints and Hawks, but then losing to the Suns by kicking 9-14.
Yeah, Swans and Hawks, yeah.
They went on tilt after that and lost to Carlton, lost to Collingwood, Dockers. It seems like the Suns game broke them a little.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? In the first 3 rounds of the year, the Suns were playing all right footy.
Yeah.
They were competitive. But the fact is that the Suns and Carlton, both losses in round 5. In the first 5 rounds.
Yeah.
They're 2 losses which you shouldn't have a team playing finals.
Well, and they had very poor kicking in the first half too.
Yeah.
Like 11-16, 16-10 is good, 9-14, 9-10. Like 7-15, 9-15. They tend to kick a lot more points than goals, which is poor footy. But having said that, their general style of play doesn't focus on a single forward.
No.
They tend to kick a lot of field goals rather than
a lot of running.
A focal point.
Yeah. Oh, they fixed it up this season, though. They've got Josh Bruce coming in.
We've got that. All right, let's have a look at their list changes. Bruce is a very interesting one because I don't know if he's the kind of forward they needed, really.
I'm going to say no, but he's the kind of forward the Saints need to get rid of.
Yeah. Obviously, they're very happy with Norton, but they want a couple of options up forward. I reckon the system they had was pretty good.
Get rid of Stringer.
Your midfielders kick the goals.
Nothing wrong with getting rid of Stringer. Yeah. There are other issues there. They got a flag out of him. That's all right. Yeah. They did a right out of that one. But anyway, they have picked up Josh Bruce. And Alex Keith from the Crows.
I actually like
Keith. Yeah, nice pickup.
Keith is good. Yeah, I thought he's one of their better defender.
Yep, defenders. Good size as well.
I mean,
well.
An intelligent defender is often a contradiction in terms.
Yep.
But he's one of them.
Very solid. Very solid centre-half back.
He's a bit older.
Yeah, because he obviously had his cricket career that everyone likes to mention. They're outs. They've had retirees in Tom Boyd, which is obviously well covered. Pickin and Dale Morris. These aren't sad retirees either. 3 premiership players. Boyd retiring because he doesn't want to play footy anymore. Fair enough too. Pickin because of the head knocks. Fair enough too.
Yeah.
And Dale Morris got absolutely everything out of his career.
Yeah.
But he could absolute club champion. And Fletcher Roberts I had in there as well. He was delisted.
Fletcher Roberts
was a decent player.
Yeah.
But definitely sounds more suited to Melbourne, the old double barrel.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
All right, so that's really, though, that's not a bad off-season for them because the players they lost, they had to lose.
Yeah.
And the pickups, handy. You know, but they didn't lose any players that they really wanted to hang on to.
No, and the thing with the Bulldogs is they're just waiting for some of their key players to gain consistency, like the Brittore to come back and show, you know, the form that he's shown in previous seasons.
Yeah.
But I think they've got people that have chipped away at it. Like, I thought Lloyd had a decent enough year. He did a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah.
But that's what you get with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Lloyd kicked a goal.
He did.
Back against Essendon, which means the team kicked 20 more after that.
How long did you go looking for that one?
I was waiting for you to use one of the names.
How many goal kickers that day?
There was Dixon, McLean, Dale, Shacky, Hayes, Norton, Smith, Dunkley, Johansson, Lloyd and McRae. So that many.
That many. That's lovely. Sorry.
But none got more than three. So
sharing it.
So
that's nice.
That's poor forward craft. if you're that much up and on that much of a roll, where was the small forward after the handball?
Yep.
Like, you can guarantee Brent Harvey would have kicked 10 that day because he would have just stolen it out of players' hands.
All right, they're double ups for 2020. We've got GWS, which is a good matchup, and I like that they're trying to build a bit of a rivalry with GWS. Obviously, a lot of players are going back and forth between the two, and GWS knocked them out of the finals last year.
Yeah. They both have West in their name.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll do.
Like I've said before, though, GWS could come out as a house on fire, and looking at their preseason, they might. Or that spanking they got could mean they come out and just get hammered.
Well, they could go the collective minds route.
Yeah. And they play them in round three.
Yeah.
So that probably, it could be one of the ones where the Bulldogs decide GWS's season.
Good time to get them, too, early on.
Yeah.
Especially because they could be a little fragile. So
yeah, with Taranto's obviously gone down with the shoulder, so he won't be playing.
And it's their first home game for the season, too.
GWS's.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'd be going up in their home ground of 6,000 whatever, and the Bulldogs could put a hurt on it because they are a tough team.
They might get a few up there, you know, these days with against the Bulldogs. They have packed it out before.
I mean, they could get a few tickets, but you know the way transport is in Sydney, no one will fucking turn up.
You never know. Their other matchups, double ups, are Port, North, Frio, and Carlton. That's nice.
Easy.
That's a nice draw for the Bulldogs.
Port and Carlton, they'll walk over. I know Carlton will be better in 2020.
Carlton will be better this year,
but they were coming from a long way fucking back.
Frio are going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think they'd got a Frio.
Northern Bulldogs have had some fucking great contests.
Yeah, they have.
It's a good matchup for them.
And, especially I'm pretty sure one of those matches is the
Good Friday.
Is the Good Friday match.
Yep.
And that's going to be a cracker. And I hope it does stay Northern Bulldogs and they can make a cracker out of it.
Yep.
To be honest, I think Carlton makes more sense, but whatever. It is what it is. And it's been the best Good Friday game.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, for sure.
And especially, like, not just because some of the other ones were lackluster, it was a great game.
Yeah.
But I'm the same with you. I like, pick the Bulldogs, stick with it, make it, you know, a marquee. You know, North and Bulldogs are playing Good Friday every year.
Yeah, that's consistency much pays off in these things.
Yeah, exactly. That's much better than North and someone.
Yeah, yeah.
North
and special guest.
Yeah. So I hope that they stick with that too.
Although I imagine Port's got a marquee game up for grabs about now. Seems like they can't go to China.
Playing in Cairns. All right, who's in for a big year at the Bulldogs this year?
I mean, the easy picks, Bontempelli, McRae, Dunkley.
Yeah.
That's your easy pick.
All those,
who's the not easy picks?
Yeah. I mean, them. But Bontempelli, you want to see him really stamp his place as a top three player in the AFL.
I think you want to see him get that five dusty tier of consistency. Exactly. Doesn't get beaten. Especially even if you're beaten in a game, you just need that one quarter where you win that game for him and the rest of the match doesn't really matter.
And he's had that too.
He's certainly capable.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was very interesting watching him in the Origin match lining up against Cripps a lot. And I think Cripps did him in because they're both, you know, about the same age and about the same expectations, to be honest. Yep. And I think that's going to be a good benchmark for each other.
Yeah.
For them. And you want to see, go, Bonk, you know what? I've got you.
Yeah.
You know, it's that little bit Magic Johnson, Larry Bird type of stuff.
Yeah.
They can both push each other.
In round 21, Bontempelli did kick a goal, and the team kicked 21 more.
21?
Round 21.
Shit. Yeah. How many other goal kicks were there?
That many.
That many.
I'm going Billy Gowers to stamp himself in the forward line.
Yeah, I like Billy Gowers.
Young kid, got a little bit of height. He's not too tall, but he's, you know, he's put his body out there.
Yeah, another preseason under his belt will do him absolutely a world of wonders.
Yep, and I think that's just the time's right for someone like that to come through. There's not a heap of pressure on a out-and-out forward line player. Going to have plenty of help with the midfield running through, but I think he can make himself a little cult hero down there at the Western Bulldogs.
Yep, Lachie Hunter, for my money.
Yeah, geez, doesn't he get the ball?
I think he's building. And to get the ball as much as you do, as he does in a team with Bontempelli, McRae, Dunkley. I mean, obviously McRae wasn't out there as much last season.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But you have to be just so fucking hungry for the ball because there's three of the blokes who'll get it if you're even a fraction behind and they're on your own team.
Yeah,
I like to see Aaron Norton kick 40 for him on the year. He had that breakout game that we talked about before, but I want to see him, some consistency from him and become like teams coming up against the Bulldogs going, right, what are we going to do about Norton?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he kicked 2 in round 21 and the team went on to kick 19 more.
In a row. Who's on the outer for the Bulldogs?
I've got Lin Jong.
Yeah, didn't play a game last year.
Didn't play a game. Also had that little foray into other clubs for a little while, you know.
Had a tour of Collingwood.
And they just got a lot of talent coming up behind him that's going to push him out of his spot.
I think a lot of them have. I don't think he's in their best 22
when fully fit anymore. He probably should have gone to Collingwood, to be honest, and got a long contract out of it. Be a bit safer right now, but hindsight's, you know, not too bad.
Yeah, he's the number one name I had down as well. And Torrey Dixon, just purely on age. One of the best set shots for goal in the AFL, but at 33, they're going to start to think, you know, where's our future coming from?
Yeah.
So it might be just father time calling Dixon's name.
Eastern Woods, one that I think can be hit or miss. Like, his best is spectacular.
Yeah.
But he kind of was offered a bit last season, I felt.
A little bit. And some of that's age, some of that's responsibility.
I think he's never recovered from injury either.
Yeah, he has a little bit. But it will be interesting to see how he goes this year because he's handed the captaincy over to Bontempelli. Mm. And we saw with Travis Boak at Port Adelaide last year, had the best season of his career after handing over the captaincy. Maybe Easton Wood can, you know, sort of release up and go for his flying marks across halfback.
Mind you, not much of a risk. Handing it to Bontempelli, is it?
No.
Like, no one's going to say, oh, he didn't deserve it. He's your leader.
All right, guys, we're having a vote, and Bont's just gone, thank you. It's all right. We don't need to. Yeah. It's fine.
Nominate Bont, second, everyone.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Nah. All right, affirmation.
So how much pressure is the coach under, Beveridge?
Nah, he's fine.
I'm thinking a little bit. He's been there for a while. He's won the flag. Yeah. I feel like it might be a point where it's not a... you know, a fallout. But they might just be like, look, it's time to move on. We've got a good young squad that we just need a different direction.
Who's going
to
move them on? Like, all right, we're having a meeting of premiership coaches. We're going to vote on the coach. Yeah. I vote, I stay. Other coach isn't alive, so I stay.
The same. I said, you know, 4 or 5 out of 10. Not really much pressure. Especially the way the Bulldogs finished off last year. I thought mid-year, you know what? They might get a little bit antsy here.
But I think if you're going to change coaches, now would be the time because you've got a young squad that's still at the point where they can be molded into a new game plan. They've got the talent there. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to.
But I think this squad has a premiership window. They have a chance. Yes. Yeah. They're not my favourites, but they have a chance.
I think the season hinges on two players, and that's JJ and Caleb Daniel.
Yeah.
Solely because they rely so much on the run out of halfback. And those two players are equally the fastest runner in JJ and one of the best disposers of the ball in Caleb Daniel.
Absolutely is. Absolutely. And that's a good growth in Caleb Daniel's game is that they've turned him into their quarterback.
Growth. Yeah,
something that he is not very familiar with at all. I think he's taller than his brother. He plays,
his brother, there you go.
Plays for GWS. Best nickname, Stormy.
Oh, shit.
All right, so in 2019, 12 wins and finished seventh. Where have you got them, Josh, finishing next year?
I mean, geez, they've got a good squad, don't they?
You have to think they're playing finals, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they'll look they'll look pretty dangerous. I've got them finishing ninth.
Ninth?
Yeah, I think, like I said, their season hinges on JJ and Caleb Daniel.
And you're
I think they've been a bit too consistent.
so they're due for some inconsistency.
I think injuries are going to plague those two players. And it might be because Liberatore wants a game. And so I was taken out on the piss and does a didact and ends up leaving in King Street in a car that's stolen or some shit.
I love a world where Josh's ladder predictions are right. It'd be amazing.
Brenton, where have you got the Bulldogs finishing?
I've got them taking a little bit. Well, I've been drunk a lot of mine as well, but not that drunk. I've got them taking a little bit of a hike up the ladder into fifth. I think they'll push for top four. I think it's going to be tight, hard fought contest for that home ground advantage of the bottom four.
Yeah,
well, you know what I mean. I think they'll top out of the bottom four.
I've got them sneaking into the top four. I said fourth. I know preseason form is something that you should never ever rely on, but geez, they look dangerous in some of the games.
It was nothing game though.
Yeah, obviously, it was against North.
Bontempelli got 57 touches or some shit.
The way they finished off last year, they should be devastated how they showed up against GWS.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Done better against Richmond than GWS did.
Yeah,
I mean. To be fair,
I think, like I said, they're probably on my third or fourth, line of betting when it comes to premierships. But they are a chance. They're one of the teams that has a chance next year.
Well, you wouldn't bet a testicle. I'm not doing it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do us.
All right. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.